Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Holy Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for watching over us and keeping us, giving us our daily bread day by day. We thank you, our God, for protecting us, watching over us, and blessing us to assemble again in thy house. We do not know how long we may have this blessing. We ask that you would grant us this liberty, this freedom, all the days of our lives. Like David of old, when he said, "One thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We do not have any concern about that house eternal in the heavens, that holy city that Abraham looked for, that holy city that shall come down from you out of heaven someday, and your tabernacle shall dwell with us on the new earth and the new heavens. There will be no interruptions of worship there. We do not have that guarantee in this world in which we live. Many times throughout history, thy saints have had to worship in obscure places. Even in the days of Elijah, when he thought that there were no others that were faithful to you but himself, you reminded him that throughout Israel you had your 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. And how many you may have scattered throughout the world today, we do not know. We read of others who are being persecuted, even at this present time, in other countries, in various ways, and even in our own nation, in various ways. So we do not have the assurance of even life, for who knows, we may pass off the scene before the setting of the sun. And for us who know thee, we would consider that to be a blessing. For to depart and be with Christ is far better. But we look forward to the end, when we have not simply departed, but that our bodies are resurrected and that we are living in them with you in glory. Nevertheless, we do pray for the peace of the nation. We pray for those who rule over us, whether they be Democrat or Republican, whether they be conservative or liberal, whatever their rank in life is, we would ask that you would give a heart of unity and a sense of commonality that would bring about harmony and peace in our nation. Only you can produce that. No one party on either pole of the spectrum where they stand is going to produce that for which we pray. There has to be a spirit of unity. And there is no spirit of unity on either side, as far as we can tell. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We know that you can produce it. We don't know whether you will. Regardless, we would pray that you would bless us to be faithful to you in every situation. And frankly, my Father, we need wisdom and strength to do that, because we can't stand on our own. We do ask that you would bless us now as we continue in our worship, and that we might magnify your word and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. We're still in the first part of the book of Revelation. We are ready for the 8th verse, which is what we have designated the last verse of the prologue, but really we're just looking at chapter 1 overall. But I want to read those first 8 verses again to kindly hold it all together. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches or congregations which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. We want to focus upon this 8th verse We're going to look at several passages of Scripture to show the continuity of this throughout the Bible. And I hope it's not just a mere intellectual study, but that God would bless it to our hearts and souls. Note here in verse 8 that this is Christ's declaration of himself. This is not John's declaration of him. John saw it, as we read in the in verse 2. Everything in the book of Revelation is what John saw, and he recorded it for us. But he saw the Lord saying, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. He said, I am the beginning and the ending. He said, I am the one that which is, and which was, and which is to come. He said, I am the Almighty. So we see here that Christ is the first and the last, the beginning, the ending, and outside of him, there is nothing. He is the creator of the universe. He is God. He is God. And we've already, as we noted last Lord's Day, I believe, if not, it was the time before, he is the one that is the prince of the kings of the earth. So whatever is going on right now on the earth, not only just in our country, but in all the countries, he is the prince. He is over all, and as the song says, I don't know whether any, well, I won't get into, he has the whole world in his hand. Everything is at his sovereign disposal. And any time he wants to bring it to a stop, he can. He can. And he will only bring everything to an end when everything that is in the Word has been fulfilled to be done. You know, we say that the Lord could come back at any time. And that is true to a point. But according to some passages of Scripture, which we're not going to get into right now, but I believe there's some things that must happen before he comes back that hasn't happened yet. But I also reserve the right to be wrong. And therefore, saying that, you know, he might come back at a time that I don't expect it. In fact, the Bible says he will. He'll come back when I don't expect it, in one sense. No man knows the day nor the hour. He come as a thief in the night. But even in those verses where he said that he would come as a thief in the night, he said there are some things that must take place that we not be led astray. And so, it is this Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, who was the creator of the universe, and the second person of the Trinity. And we're not going to get off into that doctrine either. But you can see how all of this comes together. First of all, we'll look at Alpha and Omega. And as you know, you probably heard it enough. I don't know that y'all have studied the the Greek alphabet, but the first letter of the Greek alphabet is Alpha, and the last letter is Omega. You know, we have A to Z. And so when we say A to Z, we mean everything from the beginning and everything in between. Well, this is the same way with Alpha and Omega. And he makes this declaration a few more times here in the book of Revelation. And we see it here in verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and so on. He says there, I am Alpha and Omega. And then in Revelation 21, in verse 6, he says it again. And he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then in Revelation 22, in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So we see all three of these phrases that was used here in Revelation. But first of all, in verse 8, he says, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. Then he says that he is the beginning and the ending, which saith the Lord, and which was, which is to come. But he's everything and everything in between. He's also the first and the last, as we've already read in some of the other verses. But look in Revelation 2, in verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, what I want you to kindly hold on to, whether it's the Alpha and Omega, whether it's beginning or ending, whether it is first and the last, or whether it's the Almighty, you might consider and think of them as one person, one being, one God, I put it this way. One God, not one person, but one being, one God, because there's three persons in the Godhead. But anyway, I want you to see how this is all, when you think of the Almighty, you might think of the first and the last at the same time. Or you might think Almighty, the beginning and the ending. The Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. Or if you think of the Alpha and Omega, you might think about the beginning and the ending. Or you might think about the first and the last. In other words, I want you to have an association in your mind of these titles. These are titles and descriptions of the one whom we are gathered here today to worship and adore. And he wants us to know this. He wants us to see the connectivity of it all. In Isaiah chapter 41, by the way, right now we're looking at first and last. In Isaiah 41, in verse 4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first and the last, am He. By the way, look at verse 27 of that same chapter. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. But notice, it didn't say the first and the last. It said the first. Thought that was a unique way of saying that. You probably have read over that and read over that and never made any connection of the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. the Almighty. The first saith. The first shall say to Zion. But anyway, we're focusing on first and last. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now, first and last is not mentioned there, but you can see the implication. See, Jesus is making it plain in the book of Revelation that what the revelation is about the God of the Bible. You see that? All right? It's not just a book of fancy symbols and signs for somebody to try to figure out everything. All right, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So when Jesus said in Revelation 1, 8, I am the first and the last, he's saying, I'm it. I'm it. And the last, first and last that we'll look at is Isaiah 44:12. Isaiah 44:12. No, excuse me. 40. We just read 44:6, didn't we? No, 44:6. 48:12. Sorry. Looking at two things at once. Isaiah 48:12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. So when anybody reads the book of Revelation, if they know anything about the rest of the Bible, when it talks about Christ being the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, that's not some new thing. This is what's told about our Lord throughout the Scriptures. And then the last thing he says in that verse in Revelation 1:8 that we want to focus on is the Almighty. The Almighty. Which was, which is, and which is to come. In other words, I'll say this now. Our Lord Jesus Christ was in eternity. And bodily, he was on this earth. He is right now in glory in that human body. And he who was, he who is going to come back. You see, the book of Revelation is going to talk about trials and afflictions and trouble in this world, and I think some things that are going to happen in the future, not only from John's time, but even from my time, we need this. The stage is being set that our Redeemer is still in control, and when it looks like all chaos is broken loose in the world around us, our Lord is still in control. He's still there. And he's going to take care of us. Even if we're killed, he's going to raise us up. He's coming back. He's coming back. All right? But I want us to focus on this Almighty. The Almighty. This phrase, the Almighty, is used quite a few times in the book of Revelation. And I hope I don't bore you. It shouldn't. And we're going to look at them, and then we're going to look at some more. Of course, we're not going to look at all of them in the Bible. We'll be here for quite a while. But Revelation 4:8. Just want to see. I want you to see how it's used in the context throughout the book of Revelation. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. There it is again. Lord God Almighty. Revelation 11. It's in verse 17, but I want to read 16 with it. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hath reigned. God is going to take His great power and He's going to reign. Some says that He's reigning now, and He is. But I believe there is a time coming when He's going to do so in a more visible way upon this earth. Say, well, how can He do that? He's got power to do it. Well, I'll go on. I'm tempted to read more verses there, but we don't want to do that. Revelation 16. Now, it's in verse 14, but I want to start at verse 12. Because I want you to see in the midst of the context of this. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, it's about sometime the river Euphrates is dried up. You say, you mean the literal river Euphrates? Well, why not? If we're going to interpret the Bible, this book of Revelation, the way we'll interpret any other book, why should this be something different? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, whatever all that is. We'll try to say more about it when we get to it. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. There's a battle going to take place with the kings of the earth. You say, well, I don't believe that's kings of the earth. Well, what is it if it's not kings of the earth? Just because we cannot understand all the details, why is it must we explain away what the Bible has plainly said. That's very important as we continue with the book of Revelation. But anyway, I want you to note that God Almighty is going to be involved in this battle. Whatever, however, the outcome is. In fact, God Almighty is involved in every battle in His overruling providence. Sometimes we're able to see that, as with when Germany was going into Russia and He stopped Germany with a snowstorm. He stopped Hannibal one time with a snowstorm. He stopped the Spanish Armada going against England with a windstorm. Those were not just acts of nature. That was our God ruling in the heavens. And sometimes we're able to see some of it, but sometimes we don't see anything. But our God is in control. And He may be directly influencing some things in certain ways, and in other ways He may just lift His restraining hand. But what I want us to see is, if we are alive during this time of dragons and beasts and false prophets, or the false prophet, there's false prophets now, and there's Antichrist now. 1 John tells us that. But I believe that there's going to be a time when all of that's going to be localized in a, most likely, I think, a person. And if we're alive in that time, God is going to take care of His people. See, in the middle of this battle, the Almighty's there. We need to keep that in mind. What is going on right now in our country, the Almighty is still ruling. I hope this gives you comfort. All right, in Revelation 19. Talking about the coming of the Lord and coming of white horse and all of that, and however all that is. But let's just read verse 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and that He should rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty God, and He has the wrath of Almighty God. That'll be poured out someday. God is a God of wrath. And He exhibits His wrath from time to time, even now. He did with Israel in days of old, and so on. But someday He's going to pour out His wrath in a way that it has never been poured out before, when the wicked, the beast, the false prophet, the devil, and death in Hades are cast into the lake of fire. He's a God of wrath. He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty. And then, in Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple therein for the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple of it. Here the Almighty is referring more particularly to the God the Father, but as we have seen throughout, it includes the Lamb as well. He's the Almighty. Now, I'm going to tie the last book of the Bible to the first book of the Bible. Let's go to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. This is quite important, so bear patiently with me. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God has identified himself as the Almighty. So you can see the book of Revelation is not a book that is separate from the rest of the Bible. It has to be interpreted with the overall teaching of the Scriptures. And we'll see this over and over and over as we go through the Scriptures. Alright? Still in Genesis. Look in Genesis 28. Genesis 28. It's in verse 3, but I'll start at verse 1 and read down through verse 3. Well, I'll probably read verse 4. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. I think he picked out a wife pretty close to tell him where to get it, didn't he? He didn't say go out there and start running around, see what woman out there that might fit your fancy. And God Almighty bless thee. Who? God Almighty. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed. And if we'd read more in Genesis 17, we'd read more about that blessing, but for time's sake, we did just read that first verse. Verse 4, And I will give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram, unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. All right, Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Verse 11. Well, let's start at verse 9. It's in verse 11, but And God appeared unto Jacob again. We've got through Abraham, we've gone through Isaac, now we're in with Jacob. And God appeared unto Jacob again, or Isaac gave that, and Jacob's going his way, when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him, and God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. This is the one that called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldee. This is one that gave the blessing to Abraham. This is the one that Abraham gave it to Isaac. Now Isaac passing it on. Now God is confirming it. And I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and thy kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And so on. That was at Bethel. All right. Genesis 43. Here's Joseph talking to his brothers. It's in verse 14, but I'll read in verse 13. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Excuse me, that was Jacob talking to his sons. All right, but God Almighty, still God Almighty. Genesis 48. Verse 3, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And then he goes on, and we don't need to take the time to read all of that. Just wanted to give that. And in Genesis 49, verse 25. This is a blessing that Jacob gave to Joseph and his descendants. But we only need to read verse 45. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, that lieth under, blessings of the breast of the womb, and blessings and so on. Now turn to Exodus chapter 6. This is God speaking to Moses and commissioning him to bring his people out of Egypt. And verse 3 is what we want, but I'm going to start at verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them. Now you see, in Exodus 3, when Moses was there on the mount, and he said, God told him to go back and call the children of Israel out of Egypt, He said, well, whom shall I say that sent me? He said, I am that I am, Jehovah. Because I am really is what's called in Hebrew the tetragrammaton. You know, there's no vowels in the Hebrew alphabet. They're all consonants. And so there's four letters of the Hebrew alphabet that make up the name Jehovah. But he said, and he tells him, but my people were, and Moses said, whom shall I say that sent me? He said, I am. In other words, it was Jehovah. Let's look at that in Exodus 3 right quick. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then it talks about that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on. But now in Exodus 6, God said unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's that. The word Lord there, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is actually the same Hebrew word as Jehovah in verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by the name of Jehovah I was not known to them. But now he's saying that Jehovah is the same God as God Almighty. And when Revelation talks about Jesus Christ being the Almighty, Jesus Christ is Jehovah. You remember we went through that as we were studying and preaching through What Think Ye of Christ. You know, we looked at the seven I Am's that's found in the book of John. And we went through all of that, that I am is the same as this Jehovah. And we went tied it back to Exodus 3:14 and so on. Well, the Jesus in Revelation is the same I am, the same Almighty, the same God. We look at a few more verses right quick. Tie this all together. Let's run over to Numbers chapter 24. We could look at a lot more verses. Numbers 24, this is when Balak tried to get Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But Balaam said, in verse 4, he has said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes opened. This same God is the God that was controlling Balaam, the false prophet. Isaiah 9:6. The Almighty is not mentioned as clearly as in all the other verses, but you can see, I believe, how all of this ties together. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his governor, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. I think Wonderful Counselor would be better. And the Mighty God, we could say the Almighty God, in other words. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Obviously, this child that was born, who is the Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we're studying in Revelation. And then lastly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 is where it's found, but I'll read it's talking about not being equally yoked together with unbelievers and so on. Let's start at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. I hope by this little very mini study that the Almighty takes on a fresh look to you and gives some clarity to the term. Not just some nebulous sounding the Almighty that's out there, but it's centralized in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. I've got several verses here, but I'm not going to go through them for time's sake. I wondered about it, but anyway, the word the Lord in that first Revelation 1:8, which is, which was, and which is to come. If you have time, there's a rich study throughout this book on the phrase, which is. Which is. And I'll give you the verses. Not only in this verse, verse 11, but in verse 1 of the same book, Revelation. All of these are in the book of Revelation. So it's Revelation 1:4. 1:8, 2:7, 3:12, 5:13, 7:17, 9, verses 11 and 13, 10:8, 11:2, 14:10, and 17, 14:10 and 17, 20:12, 21:8, and 22:11. Those are that phrase, which is. It just kindly gives you a rich study if you take time just to sit down and read through those verses. Well, that brings us to the close of what we call the prologue, first 8 verses. The Lord willing, this afternoon we'll start looking at what's called, in the outline that I gave you, the first vision. But it's, and I'm just calling all of this overall chapter 1 study, but anyway, we'll start looking at verses 9 through 20. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book and the richness thereof. We thank you that you are the Almighty God. You manifested yourself as the Almighty in your darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was, which is to come. The first and the last, the beginning, the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing before you. There's nothing after you. Everything focuses upon you. Help us to keep our focus on you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.